Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Hey. First things first.
Yeah, man. If you've got social media, in fact, if you have a TV set and you listen to the radio, you would have heard a story, heart-wrenching story. And there's so many out there, similar stories. Obviously, this one caught wind. Firstly, shout out. There was a podcast that interviewed a lady. I think it's called Hope Revolution. And this is what brought this story to the fore of a mom who is herself a victim of abuse, sexual abuse, and assault. And her daughter, they've been trying to get justice for her. It's been since October last year where this happened to her child, who's only seven, man. Only seven. In a place where parents, you know, can rest assured that their kids should be safe and well looked after. In a school, on school premises, a child came back home and the parent realized that the child was in pain. And you may have heard the story. Mfundo, she will explain now. She tells me that legally we're not allowed to be saying the name, even though it is a hashtag out there, justice for the little girl who was violated. There's all sorts of suspects who obviously were also on school premises, one being the principal, who has refused with his DNA, which is so mind-boggling. You know, if you're a leader and you're in charge of all these kids and something horrific like this happens to a child, you obviously want to take the lead in finding and assisting the cops into getting to the bottom of it and getting justice. What's the legalities first, Limfundo, before I get into the crux of what I want to talk about, as far as the naming of the child and protecting the child's identity? Because the story broke out obviously on a podcast, which is an alternative media and, and news outlets. So sometimes us podcasters, we're not really aware with the legalities. We're not, you know, I don't know whether BCCSA has got any oversight over what we do or regulation. So things like this tend to get overlooked in that realm.
And we can't necessarily fault them, because if they didn't know, they didn't know. But nevertheless, it has shone the spotlight on this very horrific story. But essentially, our laws prohibit the media from directly or indirectly identifying a victim of sexual assault when they are a minor. So in this instance, you wouldn't even identify the parents of the child, because that would indirectly mean the neighborhood where she comes from would now know who she is. So you try to protect them in that respect. So for us, we've just been saying that the seven-year-old little girl, so if they have heard that distinction, it's purely, even though some would say the horse is already bolted, but we still have to observe the law insofar as journalism is concerned. So we have just stayed on the safer side and continued to identify the little girl as the seven-year-old girl. But I know that it's a good cause. So you almost don't want to criticize people for what has happened. The story now has been elevated, and hopefully it will lead to some sort of expedited response. But we would still remain as saying the seven-year-old little girl for us.
I'm just really hurt that, you know, the mother had to resort to social media to get any kind of attention on the story. I mean, we were talking off air about how many cases of similar, you know, occurrence that are still out there that haven't been attended to by law enforcement agencies. The fact that somebody was desperate enough as a parent to go on alternative media to actually, you know, get attention to a horrific story, a horrific occurrence that has happened to a child, is just one of those things. And we were speaking about how great this country is yesterday, and it's a little bit sad that we're speaking about, you know, some of the tough things that also happen in this country. And that's one of those things that, you know, is really tough to sit here and talk about, you know, a violation of a little girl that has so much more life and a future to still have in front of her.
And you're right. And I mean, Fundo just mentioned that the names generally unrevealed, as well as the parents' names, so that when they do get justice, they can live, hopefully, an ordinary life as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, there's obviously a lifelong trauma attached to the whole case.
Yeah.
Now, it's even worse when the parent needs to resort to putting it out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to live forever on the internet.
Yeah.
But I guess for them, justice trumps, you
yeah.
know, that putting it out there.
Yeah.
And she didn't have any recourse, any outlet whatsoever. And now I'm seeing political parties, you know, hopping onto this.
Mm.
So I want to ask you,
yeah.
is it politicking the way you see it, or is it their job to amplify these causes? Because we know what's going to happen. Similar to what happened at Marry Me,
mm.
where six people had to die who were fighting crime, and the story becomes big in the media. Then the Minister of Police goes there and has tea with the family, at the tattoos of the family. Meanwhile, there are so many other families who are victims of murder as well. You, as an ordinary South African, do you see this as politicking, or do you see it as them standing up and heeding the call in pursuing justice?
The cynic in me says it's just politicking.
Mm.
And there's a little bit of humanity there. You know, we have interacted with politicians, guys. We know when they go to some of these functions, there's real life events. For them, it's about an opportunity for a photo shoot. So the cynic in me says it's just politicking, as you rightfully has said. This is a scourge in this country. You know, it should be really at the forefront of their mind if really this is what they care about.
Do give us a call. The way you see it, are politicians just politicking? And also, let's talk about the culture of delayed justice, you know, slow pace in resolving and investigating cases, and how it's become a culture in our country. Maybe do you have a case from years ago or months ago? Unfortunately, you didn't have the platform. You didn't go on a podcast. You didn't, you know, get a hashtag trending. And it's a beautiful thing South Africans are doing in seeking justice, but there are so many stories out there that are untold, and so many families that have been traumatized and still battling to find justice. Let's talk about that. Give us a ring. 0636880959. That's our WhatsApp line. You can call us directly in studio, man. 0860000959.
Yo, the most appalling thing for me about this political story is AfriForum representing someone who might be a suspect. Do you understand? And the letter they put out saying that the reason why they're representing him, what I took from that letter more than anything is how appalled he is that he might be a suspect. I mean, this child, as soon as a parent drops off umbana eskoleni, they're leaving them in your care. So if you had any form of empathy in him, you would give the DNA without hesitation. But apparently he eventually gave his DNA, but why did we have to fight and make you train for it?
My youngest brother was killed in August of 2005. I followed up the case and followed it up to a point where it even disappeared from the police station's database or whatever you want to call it. And when I insisted that the case was opened, and they denied it, and then one of the guys working there said to me, they actually delete cases to make the stats better. So in my case, justice was never served, was never delivered. May my brother's soul rest in peace.
Yeah, may your brother's soul rest in peace indeed, man. I didn't know that they delete cases to better the stats. We need to have a deeper look into that. On the line, Linda Gutler from Cape Town joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, Saul. And like, guys, I'm really frustrated by what is happening, because we also lost our cousin who was mutilated because of her sexuality. But another thing that frustrates me is that why is it that always when we hear the budget speech, they only talk about the money that is set aside for, you know, GBV and all these things, but it never like materializes in real life. What happens to the money that is set aside to address these cases? What breaks my heart even further is that when the mother reported the case, the sergeant who was taking the case said to her that, why would this child not speak? Like, I deal with kids who are four, they can speak. Like, what sort of treatment is that? Why are we here? Like,
yeah, that's, you know, that's what people always say. They get to police stations, they are going to report GBV. The cop asks you, when women's in? And also, like, you feel like there's no effort into getting to the bottom of hate crimes and hate murders or corrective rapes, especially when somebody is being victimized because of their sexuality. You go and report this particular crime, and then you find that even the cops themselves, they hold personal prejudices against certain people with certain sexualities. It's just horrific, man. Sorry for your ordeal. On the line, we've got Tepi from Soweto Tladi. Good morning, Tepi.
Morning, so how are you?
Yeah, we try.
Yeah, The story at Lomtana is very sad. I think mainly even though the truth that we face also as a public is we don't understand the law. Because with me, what happened was that I was a victim over the weekend of a pickpocketing incident by a minor. So my perpetrator was 10. I couldn't open a case because when we got to the police station, the video footage that I had to show them, because it happened in the store, the police told me how, because my instinct reaction was I turned around and I slapped her. So there's protection for kids, but they also do even do the wrong because mine's a Sarazai.
Hold on.
I was saying,
I'm still wrapping my head around a 10-year-old pickpocketed you, a girl at that.
Yes, a girl traveling with what she called her brother. But when we opened their phone, there's a video of the two of them kissing.
Oh. So, and then the police say you were wrong for slapping the child. Instead of the police, an adult, you know, putting on their adult cap, especially an African adult, saying, "Umtana lona, let's try find justice and try, hopefully, teach this kid a lesson so that they realize that crime, number one, doesn't pay, and number two, they can't get away with crime. Instead, they say, well, now you slapped the child, so now you're in the wrong.
Yeah. So the biggest thing is, I, to tell the truth, I really didn't understand. I don't really understand the law because she never got to take out anything. I saw her before. So that whole thing makes it, there's no such charge apparently as attempted theft. I had no idea. So I should have let her steal something so that it's theft. But anyway, my worry is Lomtana. She's young. She's so young.
My worry is not even Lomtana. Thank you, Tepi. My worry is that this child interacts with our children. This child, if she goes back to school or is in school, they're in school with our kids. That's my worry. My worry is she'll be an adult and live, and we're going to be victims to her one day when we are driving and their crime has now upgraded from little pickpocketing to car hijackings. Oh, man. Yeah, very depressing.
Morning, says the world. I mean, as well, I really don't mind if it's politics or whatsoever. As long as the poor child would get justice, I really don't mind. We are really, really tired of this legal system, which are failing us, continue failing us. So I don't mind, because this thing is going to blow off since politics are involved. So I don't mind. They can get involved.
I feel like we must mention the name of the principal. It should be known and we should be exposed. I feel like by not mentioning his name, we're also protecting him. I think it makes sense. Asim Nemeni, this guy must be famous for the nonsense that he has done. And the fact that he is refusing to do DNA test, it's clear that he is guilty. So I understand the laws and the policies behind this, but I feel like this guy needs to be exposed.
The name of the principal is Yaku Pieterse, principal of Bergview College in Matatiele, where a 7-year-old girl was violated. He hasn't been called a suspect, but he's refusing with DNA samples, which is very strange. As the principal, you should be helping the cops in getting justice.
For me, with politicians getting involved, I feel like it is really, really politicking, because it reminds me of that incident where a young boy was shot meeting his dad by the gate. Politicians took opportunity and then, yeah, they said what they said and then nothing happened after that. The boy was buried and so was the story, you see. So it's going to be the same with this one. We're going to make noise, we'll march and all that stuff. And then it's going to end up in the air. Nothing is going to happen. I hate politicians. Trust me, I hate politicians.
Vele, what happened to that case? It was in Soshanguve, block UU. Ditebogo Phahlane, a young boy got shot by car hijackers who were trying to hijack his father. Bekicele was there with his Panama hats. What happened to that case? We need to follow up, actually.
You missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.